This recording is a service of the Allen County Public Library's audio reading service. It is specifically designed for and directed to people who have visual, physical, learning, or language challenges to reading traditional printed materials.
Welcome to Cook's Corner. We all could use a little help in the kitchen, so pick up some useful tips, tricks, and hints, as well as some tasty recipes from leading cooking magazines that will make your next meal a huge success. All on Cook's Corner, coming up next on your audio reading service.
Welcome. This is Cook's Corner, and I'm your reader, Marcy, with the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Today I'll be reading from All Recipes, copyright 2025, Meredith Operations Corporation, and Food and Wine, copyright 2025, Meredith Operations Corporation. First, I'll be reading from All Recipes. The article is entitled Sticky Sweet. Bring out the best in desserts with a few sweet upgrades. Caramel, brown sugar, molasses, and maple syrup provide the depth and complexity to cakes, custards, and more. The first recipe is for maple pecan shortbread squares. These one-bite desserts pack in flavor and crunch. Pure maple syrup adds notes of caramel and vanilla, and toasty, woodsy hints. For this recipe, you will need flour, brown sugar, butter, egg, pure maple syrup, pecan halves, and flaky salt for garnish. Now take 1 cup of your flour, 2/3 of a cup of packed brown sugar, 1/2 cup of your butter softened, 1 egg, 3 tablespoons of pure maple syrup plus more for serving, 16 pecan halves, and flaky salt for garnish. Step 1. Preheat your oven to 350 degrees. Stir together flour and 1/3 cup of your brown sugar in a medium bowl. Mix in butter with an electric mixer at low speed until combined. Transfer to an ungreased 8-inch square baking pan. Press evenly to form a crust. Bake until golden brown, about 20 minutes. Step 2. Meanwhile, beat your egg, maple syrup, and remaining 1/3 cup of brown sugar in a small bowl until well combined. Pour over hot crust, spreading evenly. Evenly space pecan halves on top, pressing lightly into sugar mixture. Step 3. Bake until pecan topping is set and edges are golden, 12 to 15 minutes. Immediately run a knife around edges of pan to prevent sticking. Transfer pan to a wire rack to cool completely. Cut into 16 squares. To store, place in an airtight container at room temperature up to 5 days or freeze for up to 3 months. Serve with additional maple syrup and garnish with flaky salt. Our next recipe is for pumpkin coffee cake with brown sugar glaze. This pumpkin spice cake gets extra sweetness in 2 forms. A buttery streusel topper, and a vanilla-scented brown sugar glaze. Your shopping list for this recipe is as follows. 1 can of pumpkin, eggs, vanilla extract, pumpkin pie spice, 1 package of yellow cake mix, baking powder, packed brown sugar, flour, and butter. For the glaze, you'll need brown sugar, white sugar, whipping cream, and vanilla extract. Now for the cake, take 1 can of pumpkin, 2 eggs, 1/3 cup of water, 1 tablespoon of vanilla extract, 2 teaspoons of pumpkin pie spice, 1 package of yellow cake mix, 1/2 teaspoon of baking powder, 1/2 cup of packed brown sugar, 1/2 cup of flour, and 1/4 cup of butter melted. For the glaze, you will take 1/2 cup of packed brown sugar, a quarter cup of white sugar, a quarter cup of whipping cream, and 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract. First, we'll make our cake. Step 1. Preheat oven to 350 degrees. Grease a 9x13-inch baking pan. Step 2. Mix together pumpkin, eggs, the water, vanilla, and pumpkin pie spice in a large bowl with an electric mixer at medium speed until combined. Add cake mix and baking powder. Just mix until combined. Spread butter in prepared pan. Step 3. Stir together brown sugar, flour, and melted butter in a small bowl until crumbly. Sprinkle over batter in pan. Bake until a toothpick inserted into center comes out clean, 25 to 30 minutes. Cool the cake on a wire rack for 10 minutes. Meanwhile, stir together brown sugar, white sugar, cream, and vanilla in a small saucepan and bring to a simmer over medium heat. Cook, stirring frequently until sugars are dissolved and the glaze is smooth, about 2 minutes. Drizzle this glaze evenly over the warm cake. Serve warm. Here is a quick tip about working with brown sugar. Firmly pack your brown sugar in a dry measuring cup with the back of a spoon until it's level with the cup's rim. Brown sugar should hold the shape of the measuring cup when you turn it out. If brown sugar is not packed, air pockets form and the amount of sugar will be less, impacting the final result. Our next recipe is 5-spice molasses cake. 5-spice, a blend with Chinese origins, is typically a mix of star anise, cloves, cinnamon, Szechuan pepper, and fennel seeds. It provides floral, citrusy, cooling flavor notes to this dessert. Your shopping list for this recipe is as follows. Flour, ground ginger, baking soda, cinnamon, salt, 5-spice powder, white sugar, dark molasses, vegetable oil, an egg, powdered sugar, and 3 medium lemons. Now you'll take 1 2/3 cups of your flour, 2 teaspoons of ground ginger, 1 1/4 teaspoon of baking soda, 1 teaspoon of cinnamon, 3/4 of a teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of 5-spice powder, 1/2 cup of white sugar, 1/2 cup of dark molasses, 1/2 cup of vegetable oil, 1 egg lightly beaten, 1/2 cup of boiling water, 1 cup of powdered sugar, 1 tablespoon of lemon zest from your 3 medium lemons, and 1/4 cup of lemon juice from your lemons. Step 1. Preheat your oven to 350 degrees. Grease and lightly flour a 9-inch square baking pan. Step 2. Whisk together flour, ginger, baking soda, cinnamon, salt, and 5-spice powder in a medium bowl. Whisk in the white sugar, molasses, oil, and egg until just combined. Add boiling water, whisking until batter is smooth and shiny, about 1 minute. Step 3. Pour batter into prepared pan. Tap pan gently on counter to release any air bubbles. Bake until a toothpick inserted into center comes out clean, about 35 minutes. Step 4. Meanwhile, whisk together powdered sugar, lemon zest, and lemon juice in a medium bowl until smooth. Pour glaze over hot cake, spreading evenly. Serve warm or cool completely before serving. Next, we'll be making Chef John's sticky buns. These unassuming rolls turn into gotta-have-em decadence once you flip them out of the pan and see all the gooey goodness. Use any type of nut you like. Pecans, pistachios, walnuts, and almonds. For the dough, your shopping list will be milk, active dry yeast, unsalted butter, an egg, white sugar, flour, and salt. For the topping, your shopping list is light brown sugar, unsalted butter, white sugar, a pinch of salt, and chopped, lightly salted, roasted deluxe mixed nuts. For the filling, your shopping list is light brown sugar and cinnamon. For the dough, you will need 2/3 of a cup of water, 2/3 of a cup of milk, 2 teaspoons active dry yeast, 6 tablespoons of unsalted butter melted, 1 egg, 2 tablespoons of white sugar, 4 cups of flour or more as needed, and 1.5 teaspoons of salt. For the topping, you will need 1/2 cup of packed light brown sugar, 6 tablespoons of unsalted butter melted, 1/4 cup of white sugar, 3 tablespoons of water, 1 pinch of salt, and 1 cup chopped, lightly salted, roasted deluxe mixed nuts. For the filling, you will need 3/4 of a cup of packed light brown sugar and 1 teaspoon cinnamon. First, we'll make the dough. Heat 2/3 of a cup each of water and milk in a small saucepan until warm, 120 to 130 degrees. Pour into the bowl of a stand mixer fitted with a dough hook. Sprinkle with yeast. Let stand until frothy, about 10 minutes. Whisk melted butter, egg, and white sugar into the yeast mixture. Add 3 cups flour and the salt. Mix, adding more flour as needed, until a very soft and sticky dough forms. Knead with the mixer for 5 minutes. Form the dough into a ball. Transfer to a lightly greased medium bowl, turning to coat. Let rise covered in a warm place, 75 degrees to 80 degrees, until doubled in size, about 1 hour. Meanwhile, let's make the filling. Generously grease a 9x13-inch baking pan. For topping, stir together brown sugar, melted butter, white sugar, the water, and salt in a medium bowl until smooth. Pour into prepared pan, spreading evenly to cover bottom. Scatter nuts evenly over the topping. For the filling, in a small bowl, stir together brown sugar and cinnamon. Now let's assemble and bake the buns. Transfer the dough to a lightly floured surface. Roll into a 15x18-inch rectangle. Evenly sprinkle filling over dough, leaving 2-inch border on long ends. Starting on a long side, roll up dough to form a log, taking care not to roll too tightly. Pinch the seam to seal. Cut the log crosswise into 12 equal portions. Arrange the buns, cut sides down, over topping in the pan. Let rise covered until buns have almost doubled in size, around 45 minutes to 1 hour. Preheat your oven to 375 degrees. Uncover buns and bake 30 to 35 minutes or until golden brown, and an instant read thermometer inserted into the center of the buns registers 200 degrees. If the tops are browning too quickly, tent pan loosely with foil during the last 5 to 10 minutes of baking. Transfer pan to a wire rack and let cool for 5 minutes. Carefully invert pan over a serving platter. Use a rubber spatula to scrape any topping remaining in pan onto the rolls. Serve warm or at room temperature. For our final recipe, we'll be making salted caramel custards. This rich, creamy custard incorporates homemade caramel, and while you could stop there, take it over the top with a toffee sauce and flaky salt for a buttery, sweet finish. Your shopping list for this recipe is as follows: sugar, whipping cream, kosher salt, vanilla extract, whole milk, egg yolks, and toffee sauce with the recipe to follow. For the toffee sauce, you will need butter, brown sugar, whipping cream, and vanilla extract. For the custard, take 2/3 of a cup of your sugar, 2 cups of the whipping cream, 1/2 teaspoon of the kosher salt, 2 teaspoons of vanilla extract, 1 cup whole milk, and 9 egg yolks. Preheat your oven to 300 degrees. Place 6 6-ounce ramekins in a baking dish. Spread sugar evenly in a heavy-bottom saucepan. Place over medium heat. Without stirring, let sugar slowly melt around edges of pan, adjusting heat as necessary, about 5 minutes. When edges start to bubble, shake and swirl pan without stirring to dissolve remaining sugar. Continue moving pan until sugar is dissolved and the transparent dark caramel forms about 10 minutes. Whisk and cream, caramel will cool into a lump. Continue stirring over medium heat until caramel melts. Remove from heat. Stir in the kosher salt, vanilla, and milk until well combined. Put egg yolks in a large mixing bowl. Whisk in a ladle full of the caramel milk mixture. Add 2 more ladlefuls, one at a time, then mix in the remainder of the caramel milk mixture, whisking until thoroughly blended. Divide mixture evenly among the ramekins. Carefully pour enough water into the baking dish to reach halfway up the sides of the filled ramekins. Bake until custards are set and tops jiggle evenly across the surface, 45 to 60 minutes. Baking time will depend on size and shape of ramekins. If center seems looser than the edges, continue to bake 1 to 2 minutes more. Transfer the ramekins to a wire rack and let cool to room temperature. Chill, covered with plastic wrap, until very cold, at least 1 hour and up to 3 days. To serve, drizzle each custard with 1 tablespoon of toffee sauce and sprinkle with a pinch of flaky sea salt. Directions for the toffee sauce are as follows. Melt 1/4 cup of butter in a small saucepan over medium heat. Stir in 1/3 cup of packed brown sugar. Bring to a boil, stirring until sugar is dissolved. Reduce heat to medium and boil gently, uncovered, stirring occasionally for 5 minutes. Carefully stir in 1/3 cup of whipping cream. Return to a boil. Remove from heat and stir in 1/4 teaspoon of vanilla extract. Let cool to room temperature. This makes 3/4 cup. Now I'll be reading from Food and Wine, copyright 2025, Meredith Operations Corporation. The title of this article is Zucchini Bread. It's by Paige Grandjean. Chef Ashley Christensen bakes summer's most prolific cucurbit into a sweet and satisfying quick bread. Growing up in Kernersville, North Carolina, Chef Ashley Christensen's summers were filled with zucchini. With 2 huge organic vegetable gardens right outside her back door, Christensen remembers prolific harvests. "My mom was always looking for ways to use the overgrown guys," she recalls. Zucchini bread became a go-to snack for their busy family and an easy gift for her mom to give often to friends, neighbors, and clients. "As kids, it didn't take my brother and me long to hit savory squash fatigue," Christensen says, "so the indulgence of the sweet zucchini bread was always a nice reset." Christensen first shared her mom's zucchini bread recipe with Food and Wine in 2004 in a story about the now-shuttered Enoteca Vin Wine Bar in Raleigh, North Carolina, where she was executive chef at the time. The tender loaf, flecked with strands of shredded squash and a smidgen of cinnamon, has changed very little over the past 21 years. Today's version recipe includes a dusting of sugar on top rather than in the pan. "Its evolution as a recipe has mostly been in what we might add to it or serve to it," she says. I love it baked with pecans folded into the batter, and it's delicious toasted and then finished with salted butter or cream cheese. If you want to get really indulgent, let it dry out on the counter a little bit, intentionally or accidentally, and then turn it into zucchini French toast. That's how Christensen served it back in the 2004 story. Thick zucchini bread slices were soaked in an egg and heavy cream mixture flavored with vanilla, pan-fried until golden, and topped with a buttered bourbon maple syrup. While most other zucchini bread recipes call for the tedious task of squeezing the shredded squash to remove excess moisture before stirring it into the batter, Christensen takes a different approach. She gently pats the surface of the shredded squash dry, a method that allows the zucchini to retain a bit of its moisture. The trick yields ultra-tender bread. If you squeeze too much moisture out of the zucchini, a lot of the flavor goes with it, Christensen says. I've tried it both ways, and the difference in flavor and texture is notably superior with the pat-dry method. Christensen keeps it simple when it comes to flavorings. Her version of the popular quick bread is infused with a pinch of cinnamon. The warming spice adds subtle earthiness and floral notes while still getting the mild sweetness and vegetal flavor of the zucchini shine. Before baking, she sprinkles the top of the loaf lightly with granulated sugar, giving the bread a delicate, crunchy crust, to contrast with the ultra-tender crumb. This focus on simplicity and seasonal ingredients exemplifies Christensen's culinary approach more broadly. Her cooking is rooted in Southern traditions and influenced heavily by French and Italian techniques. Given the plethora of local vegetables and fresh seafood in North Carolina, Christensen lets what's in season guide her cooking. I'm at my best when I keep it simple and let my foundational ingredients respectfully take the lead, she says. I believe in respect for the ingredient first and foremost, and that then inspires the technique and the creative process. Today, Christensen is a James Beard Award-winning chef, restaurateur, and cookbook author. She recently celebrated 17 years since opening her first restaurant, Poole's Diner, in Raleigh. The restaurant offers reimagined takes on comfort food classics, allowing her to showcase the abundance of locally grown produce. The business is still growing. Poole's Diner expanded to a space next door, and the original restaurant has been renovated. Just like the minimal updates to her mom's zucchini bread, Christensen wants to change only what's necessary to respect the soul of the place. We are keeping the bones of the space intact, but adding some upgrades, she says. It's really a dream for me to be in a place to do this. Here is the recipe for Christensen's zucchini bread. Shredded zucchini adds moisture and vivid green flecks to this late summer loaf, gently spiced with cinnamon and baked until golden. A light sprinkling of sugar forms a crisp, crackly crust that contrasts with the soft, tender crumb beneath. Freeze leftover slices to capture the height of zucchini season for weeks to come. For this recipe, you will need cooking spray, 2 zucchini, all-purpose flour, ground cinnamon, kosher salt, baking soda, baking powder, eggs, canola oil, vanilla extract, and granulated sugar. Now take 2 of your zucchini, coarsely shredded, about 3 cups, 2 cups of your all-purpose flour, or about 8.5 ounces, 1 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, 1 teaspoon of kosher salt, 1/2 teaspoon of baking soda, 1/8 of a teaspoon of baking powder, 2 large eggs, 1/2 cup of canola oil, 1.5 teaspoons of vanilla extract, and 1 cup plus 1 tablespoon of granulated sugar divided. Step 1. Preheat oven to 375 degrees. Coat an 8.5 by 4.5 inch loaf pan with cooking spray. Line a large rimmed baking sheet with a double layer of paper towels. Spread the shredded zucchini into an even layer on the baking sheet. Cover with another layer of paper towels and very gently press to remove excess liquid, then set aside. Whisk the flour, cinnamon, salt, baking soda, and baking powder in a large bowl until evenly combined. Whisk together eggs, canola oil, vanilla, and 1 cup sugar in a separate bowl until smooth. Stir in shredded zucchini. Fold the zucchini mixture into flour mixture until fully combined. Pour the batter into loaf pan and sprinkle top heavily and evenly with remaining 1 tablespoon of sugar. Bake until golden brown and a wooden pick inserted into the center of the loaf comes out clean, about 1 hour and 5 minutes. Let cool in loaf pan for 5 minutes. Turn out onto a wire rack and let cool completely, about 1 hour and 30 minutes, before serving. Store zucchini bread in an airtight container for up to 3 days or wrap in plastic wrap and aluminum foil and freeze for up to 3 months. To freeze, cut slices, wrap each slice in plastic wrap, and store in a freezer-safe bag or container. Remove the slices and let them sit at room temperature for 15 to 20 minutes to thaw. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This has been Marcy with Cook's Corner. I hope you've enjoyed today's reading from the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library.